views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Karmic Path with your hosts, Tina Irwin and Laura Van Tine. Join us as we dive into the normal and the paranormal to break through the darkness and to help you realize how karma, spiritual law, and psychic ability all combine to open the doors of understanding. This is the place where we build the karmic connections between science, psychology, and spirituality. But can we change our karmic path? Can we help someone else's karma? Stay tuned and join us for an opportunity to look at life and spirituality from a down-to-earth, no-nonsense, practical perspective. The Karmic Path Radio Show with Laura and Tina, Better Karma for Better Living, starts now.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Tina. This is Laura.
And my lipstick is fabulous.
Yes, I was fixing her lipstick. At least I didn't spit on my fingers and fix your face.
Good point.
Our passion is karma and making sure our makeup's okay. Everyone has a karmic path, whether they're consciously aware of it or not. And everyone's actions echo out through time and space and sometimes dimension and sometimes various stacks of time, which brings us to this week's show, which is how do you know your house is haunted? So this episode is going to offer you a whole new look at ghosts. So
Start looking. All right, let's talk about a stack of time for a minute. We don't have to go too deep into it, but I think it's really important to kind of you said stack of time. What is that?
Okay, I'm so glad you asked. A stack of time means that if, let's say you have a house in the East Coast, because they have a lot of stacks of time. And on that piece of property, you have this gorgeous new house. But there was a house there before that, and maybe everybody in that house went bankrupt. And then before that, that house was there, you had Civil War dead. Maybe they were slavery dead.
Right.
And before that, you could have had Revolutionary War dead. And before that, you would have had Native Americans who lived there. Now it's your turn.
An easier way to think about this is when we think about a ghost, if you look at the clothing that a ghost has on, so for example, maybe you think of a ghost and they're like from the 1800s. Well, how do you know they're from the 1800s? Because of the clothing they're wearing.
But if you can't see them, you can only hear or sense them.
Correct.
That's a problem.
But that gives you an idea. So a ghost from 1880s is going to be in a different stack of time than 1965.
That's true.
And they're going to be, if you can see the ghost or sense them, you can get a feeling that where they, what era they may be from. And that's what we're talking about with stacks of time. And why did we decide to do this show this week, Tina? What happened?
We've had a lot of ghost elements come up, and some of them were so compelling that we felt their stories had to be shared, and we have permission to share them. And I think some of these stories are truly, truly important. And there are many ways that a place can become haunted. And we're going to get to how do you know, but we're going to tell you a story of how someone did learn that her house was haunted.
And we got a phone call from basically an old client who is very conscientious. She lives in a Civil War state in the United States. So there's a lot of predecessor energy, a lot of stack of time energy. And this was a while ago, and I believe she's Tina's client first, and Tina helped her to make sure that the new home they bought was clear, and she followed all these protocols, and she used the crossing over prayer, and everything's been fine for years.
And the house was a 1920s house, and this is in Savannah. It's in Georgia. Mm-hmm. Georgia has a lot of stacks of time that go back 200 or 300 years. And so what makes this so interesting is that they had no ghostly events in this house for a number of years. And then one day I get this phone call And the client says, you're never going to believe what happened.
And Kat, if you can put up this photo, that would be amazing. Thank you.
The client decides to buy a new sofa, brand new sofa, not used, not on Craigslist or something. She goes to a commercial company, orders the sofa online, and it was being delivered. The sofa is delivered. It's beautiful,
the
gray sofa
is delivered. And now all of a sudden, she's seeing things out of the corner of her eye and she can't figure it out. She has these crossing over prayer cards, which are everywhere, which really do work. Very rarely don't they work. And she calls up Tina. And so Tina and I decided to remote view her home, which means that we are able to psychically see her home and what's going on in her home. And what we found was kind of amazing.
Well, if you look at that photograph on your screen, and if you're listening to this as a podcast and you cannot see the photograph, what you would be seeing is a tiny child's hand impression in the sofa. So a mortal person living today would press on the sofa and your hand impression would come up and disappear. Mm-hmm. But not in this case. There was a hand impression and it stayed. And she came downstairs one morning and there was this hand impression, and she'd only had the sofa a couple days.
Right.
And it so unnerved her because the impression didn't leave.
Right. It stayed there. And as Tina and I are remote viewing this property, trying to figure out what happened, why aren't these prayer cards working? I come across a group of ghost children. And as I'm looking at these children, talking to these children were involved in a fire somewhere. And we start having this conversation with these children, and these children had gone to not a boarding school, but a workhouse school, because it was,
they weren't
way
wanted.
Back when they weren't wanted children, or their families couldn't afford them. So they went to this workhouse school, and they were there from an early age on, and they would do work, factory type work, manufacturing type work of way back when. And there was an adult with them, and the children were telling us that this adult's a bad person and they had been abused all of their lives.
They called him the headmaster. And so our question was, where did they come from all of a sudden? And what was connected? What happened with the sofa? What was the connection? And what we discovered in talking to them, which pretty much blew us away, was that, and this is why understanding the fourth dimension is somewhat challenging.
The fourth dimension is the land where ghosts and other beings reside, not divine beings.
Angels don't live in the fourth dimension. These children were in this workhouse, and so years passed and a warehouse was built over the land where this workhouse was.
The school burned down.
But, right. What happened was the school burned down and all these children burned to death. They died in a horrible death in this fire. Well, they're children. They don't know where to go. And so they're still there in this bad situation state. Okay, move forward. So now we have a new stack of time, and it's a current day, and they built a fulfillment factory for this company. And her address was on the shipping label, and apparently her house is so psychically
bright yeah,
and glowing that it was visible through the address. And all of these children could see this. I mean, I'm saying this and it sounds so far-fetched.
Sounds weird. So these children,
weird.
These children stayed with the sofa. They were no longer location bound. They'd been location bound for probably a couple hundred years or 150 years. They were no longer location bound. They stayed with the sofa and they went to this house. And the owner had mentioned that she was seeing things out of the corner of her eye, but she could never really fully see something. And as we're talking to the children, we're like, well, why didn't you cross over? There's all these places to cross over. And their response was one that just, it really melted my heart. Their response was, we thought we were in heaven. This place is so bright and wonderful. And the mom woman, is their words, is so lovely. We just want to stay here. We thought we were in heaven.
She is so kind. She is so loving. She is so beautiful. And she kind of glows. We didn't know we weren't in heaven. And the light from those other places felt like the light where we were. So we thought we were in heaven. And we love her. We want her to be our mom. And this woman does not have children. And she's a young woman. And so as we got to the point where we needed to cross the children over and explained it, they didn't want to go. So we brought the homeowner on the line. And this was new for her. She was very courageous. And as the children saw, extremely open-hearted. And as the children told her, and she began to hear it, how much they loved her and how wonderful her house was and how bright and glorious it was, that we thought we were in heaven because you are what heaven must be like. And all we could think of was, I'm happy for this
tears,
woman.
Right?
It was all we could do not to fall over that tear waterfall.
Yeah.
And then she told them that she was bringing in an angel because we're directing her.
We're helping her at this point. It felt like to us that she should have the honor of helping these souls cross over. And she did help them cross over, and they were so grateful. But this is a really good example of how an object can be haunted even if it's new.
That's right. People think something is going to be haunted even if it's old, and it doesn't have to be haunted. But it can be haunted in an astonishingly unusual way.
And this is an unusual story, but it was just so poignant that we just really wanted to share it with
you. It also goes to show you that your kindness and the levels you go to make your house beautiful and positive literally are visible on the other realms. And I think that's a really great thing to know. And, you know, people ask us, doesn't everyone cross over?
And doesn't everybody cross over? That's one of our most popular questions. And we're going to discuss that after the break. You're listening to The Karmic Path on Transformation Talk Radio. Check out the Karmic Path app. You can download it to your phone for free. And also check out theoillounge.com. They are full of a ton of great information. And we'll be back right after this.
Explore fascinating and practical uses of essential oils, how to use them, and how they can enhance your everyday life. The Oil Lounge was founded by three remarkable women with fascinating stories about how essential oils changed their lives. Tina and Laura from The Karmic Path have joined forces to educate the masses in the benefits of Young Living essential oils. For more information, visit theoillounge.com.
Celebrating 40 years of peace through music. Dr. Pat Basile is thrilled to be partnering with Dudley and Dean Evanson, co-founders of Soundings of the Planet. Music and video created for peace and healing. Immerse yourself in benefits of music for meditation, relaxation, and stress reduction. This peaceful and meditative form of music is available for free on all streaming services. Search Dean Evanson on Spotify, Pandora, Amazon, and iTunes, or visit soundings.com for more information.
Imagine that you can create anything you choose. Literally, imagine it. Join us to explore the neuroscience of imagination, intention, and ClearSpeak. Tune in to ClearSpeak Talk Radio with Dr. Ned Wolf on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Every fourth Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern, as she explores how your inner dialogue, your conversations, and the words you choose to use can help set goals you keep, achieve greater health and resources, and feel the ease and flow of loving your life. For more information, visit JeanetteWolf.com.
To find answers to life's questions, you need to look within yourself. Dr. Glenna Rice brings your questionable conversations on Transformation Talk Radio each month. Tune in each month for insight into how you can live up to your full potential. Dr. Glenna is a physical therapist, certified Access Consciousness, and Access Body Class Facilitator. How does it get any better than this? For more information on Dr. Glenna Rice and her work, visit glennarice.com.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Back to the Karmic Path. We were discussing this very interesting ghost story that took place in Savannah, Georgia. And I do want to kind of close the loop on that. And if that were to happen to someone and you couldn't just call us and ask us to help you, what you could do is bring in a team of angels and, yes, impose on your angels, ask them to come in, surround you, then in a very forceful voice, read that crossing over prayer repeatedly and tell them you have to leave right now. And read the prayer, and they will leave because the angels will take them and then direct the angels to take them immediately.
You're not banishing them. You're crossing them over, and there's a big difference.
Okay, Laura, you have an interesting story.
Yeah, so this, you know, when this happened to this client, it reminded me of something that happened to us a little while ago. And that I remember my daughter was young at the time, and whenever she would come up with the word mom in two syllables, I knew something not normal was going to happen. And I'm in a different part of the house and she's in the living room and she's like, mom. I'm like, yeah. She goes, get these babies to stop crying. I'm like, there's no babies in the house. And she points to these two pillows and there is a tiny head imprint and a tiny torso imprint on each pillow. There's two of them. She goes, mom, these are twin babies. They died and they are really loud. And so we brought
in. You couldn't hear them.
I couldn't hear them. No. And we brought in an angel to take them. And this was way before I, you know, met you, way before I were struggling like crazy to figure out this haunted issue. I requested angels to come in and hold the babies. What I didn't do was request the angels to come in and take the babies and cross them over.
Well, I think that's a very good point because most people don't know you can do that.
I didn't know what I didn't know.
Exactly. This is a point of learning that you can do something that's really, really valuable. And I guess this brings up, this takes us to the next question. One, how does somebody know what to do at death?
How do people become ghosts? It's not the best state to be in, to be blunt. How does somebody become a ghost? Why did those children not cross over?
Okay, so when you think about it, a lot of people, this is globally, many people, let's qualify this carefully, have a faith that they grew up with. And most faiths, except the Buddhist faith, they pretty much do tell you. Most faiths or belief systems never discuss what happens after death. And I think that's so critical. I mean, I've been to many different churches and not as many as some people, but I've never heard anyone discuss, okay, when you die, these are the things you can expect. This is what's going to happen at the moment of death. These are the actions you're going to take in a logical, non-emotional, clear-cut way. Right. And so when you think about it, when you grew up, did anybody have
anybody gave
you some idea what to do when you died?
No, nobody talks about what to do when you die. And even when somebody dies, a loved one dies, we focus in on the living. We don't focus in on that soul that has left their physical body. And the truth is we spend more time outside of this physical body. And I've said that, you know, these are rental units for right now. We don't own them permanently.
I'm going to get a taller one next time.
I know you are. And we don't talk about what happens. And so, but what does happen when a soul doesn't cross over is really paramount to their soul evolution or their karmic path, because they don't have the opportunity for divine guidance, divine healing, if they're stuck as a ghost.
Think about it. How would a baby or a small child have any idea what to do when death comes?
And
this is not a fault or blame to someone who's had a baby or a child die. It's in no way, because nobody talks about this. And I feel like we're just kind of taking the Band-Aid off and saying, wow, this is a hurt that many people have. Mm-hmm. And let's talk about it in a logical way, because it's really, really, it's going to happen to every single person on the planet. Nobody's going to escape this.
Everybody dies, and everybody thinks, what am I going to do when I die, or when am I going to die? We all know this is going to happen, but we rarely have these conversations out loud.
And when you do have that kind of a conversation, most of the time, if somebody asks a minister, most ministers don't say, okay, you know, the vital heat's going to leave the body and all of these different elements are going to happen, and then you're going to transition out of the body, and this is what you should look for. And the only reference is the 23rd Psalm.
And every religion, this is not a Christian bent, every religion has a version of the 23rd Psalm. So if you look at other religious texts, they will have a version of this as well.
We're talking Islam, we're talking Judaism, of course, Christianity, Buddhism, and there's just this whole range of different belief systems, and they all have that
part type, of the issue,
song.
Though, is that there's a lot of metaphors in these, and people have to understand the metaphors. And we live in a time where maybe metaphors aren't really around as much as they used to be. What do you think?
I think that we are in such a literal visual time in history that maybe we can't see it to the same degree. And no one understands what is the valley of the shadow of death, because this 23rd Psalm begins, lo, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That's the fourth dimension. Let's just call it what it is. I will fear no evil. Why would you fear evil? Why would you think that it wouldn't be this glorious, you know, happy field? Because it isn't. It's the fourth dimension, and
it's a way station. It's a transition station.
It's a transition
station.
You're
not supposed to stay there for a few hundred years.
You're supposed to transition into the heaven world. And it's a frequency issue. And we go into a great deal of this in some of our courses, which we can't fully cover in this particular hour. But when it says, he talks about, you know, I'll fear no evil because thou art with me. Who's thou? It's God. And just saying that word out loud, surely goodness and mercy will follow me. Well, that's what happens when you cross any soul into the heaven world. Goodness, mercy, compassion, and love are what await that person based on their frequency.
And not everybody knows that they've died. In fact, I've got a great example of this that happened to me this weekend.
Okay, go ahead.
I woke up Sunday morning and, you know, with a very unusual birthday present.
Okay.
I woke up with a ton of dead Sri Lankans in my bedroom. They were suddenly ejected out of their body. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know where to go. And I
didn't understand what happened to
them.
And
I have some connection with Sri Lanka, and I think that's how they found me. And I was able to cross them over. Actually, I had to have your help because there were so many of them.
Yeah, we had a lot of people.
And they didn't know they had died.
When death happens in an instant, there's no frame of reference. And if you think about it, if a person has a lingering illness, you can feel death coming. But if a person has a sudden death, there is no emotional, mental, or even physical preparation. They're eating lunch and, you know, or breakfast 1 minute, and the next minute they are propelled into another dimension, and they don't understand what happened.
It could be a heart attack. It could be anything, and some people just simply aren't aware.
And that's not right or wrong, or good or bad. It's simply that soul's reality in that moment. And that soul really needs assistance. And prayers, to the soul are wonderful prayer. And I don't care what your faith is. If you are saying a prayer for someone who died, that's wonderful to do for them. But also ask for assistance in crossing them over. It's
that
so kind.
Is a huge element of what the show is about. And it started out with this client who was doing all those things. And, you know, she got a little stuck. And that happens to all of us. We were able to help her out, and we got an amazing story where we learn something from every soul that we cross over. I think that's fair to say.
Well, no two situations are ever exactly right. Identical. There's an individuality for every one of us. Mm-hmm. And when we are recognizing that level of individuality, it puts us in a very good place.
Yeah.
And it enables us to give the soul what the soul might need. But when you're dealing with large numbers, a natural disaster, I mean, for instance, in the tsunami in Thailand and all parts of Southeast mm-hmm. Asia in 2004, there were almost 300,000 souls who needed assistance because all of a sudden everything happened and it was so fast. They didn't understand. And I don't know what their belief system was about death, but probably right. They didn't know it was coming. It hit them fast. It was a mess.
And we're going to take a commercial break in just a moment, but this commercial is not a normal commercial. We've asked producer Kat, who is very gracious to do this for us at this time around. This commercial is actually Tina explaining at her brother's memorial service what happens when we die. It's about three and a half minutes long. It's not the average commercial, but this information is so important. We really want you to listen to it. If you're listening or watching, you're still going to get the benefit from this. And with that, you are listening to The Karmic Path on Transformation Talk Radio, and we will be right back.
He asked me a question. He said, what happens? What's going to happen? And I said, be more specific, please. What will happen when I die? And I said, well, we're going to be very scientific about this. It's a physics thing. Energy is neither created nor destroyed. And so the energy that animates you, that is you, will live forever. We spend far more time outside of a mortal body than within it. And so what's going to happen is the vital heat that has animated the body will begin to ebb, and it will leave you. And you will blessedly pop out of that mortal frame, and you will stand there and you will look at the body that you used in this lifetime. And you will look at it and you will wonder. And you will smile at it and you might grieve it. Because a lot of times as we're leaving, we grieve our bodies. We grieve the life we had. Yes, the dead grieve. But then you're going to discover that you can travel with the speed of thought. And you're going to ricochet among your friends, your family members, and in your own quiet fourth dimension way, you're going to say goodbye to each of them. It might be emotional for you, it might not be. But you will find a way to say goodbye to them. And then there will come a point when there is no more heat in the body, and that vital heat leaves you, and you flatline. But for you, I have arranged an escort service. I have filled this room with angels and divine beings, and you will be escorted into the heaven world, because I have directed and assigned certain beings and angels to be with you. You will not be alone for a microsecond. And so when he did in fact flatline, I immediately connected with all of those beings and those angels, and I watched as he transitioned in this glorious blaze of light into the heaven world. And it was miraculous, and he is at peace. And although they do allow you to come and visit at your memorial or your funeral, basically you don't come back once you cross over.
Welcome back to The Karmic Path, and we are discussing how do you know you're dead? I mean, I think that's a super important question.
Right. Nobody ever talks about, am I going to know when I'm dead?
And you know, looking at that that last piece on when my brother asked me, what's going to happen when I die?
And if
I thought that was such a poignant question.
I'm going to back it up a moment. If you're not listening with the video or listening audio only, I will post on The Karmic Path .com page that video of what you're to talk about, what happens when you die.
And I think that it's very important to go back to science. So Laura, let's talk about the first law of thermodynamics. Take it away.
Because it's so much fun.
Well, thermodynamics is important.
It is really important because we want to try to bring the logic trail down, right? We want to talk about We want to make it make sense. We don't want to be all airy-fairy and pie in the sky and unicorns and rainbows about this. Let's just be practical. And the first law of thermodynamics is simply energy is neither created nor destroyed. It can only be transferred or changed from one form to another. And let's talk about water. I think water is a great example
of
this.
Okay, so in other words, water can be fog. And then it becomes water droplets.
Or ice or steam.
Exactly.
It can be many different forms.
But it's always water. A soul is never going to not be a soul. It just takes on a body or it doesn't have a body. It's either in one or not in one.
It's that simple, huh?
Well, yeah. So that means that, in other words, that which animates us can't be created or destroyed. So we're just going to keep on going. And it's very important to know what to do. And
you know,
so
I hate to admit this, but I got into a Facebook fight this morning.
Okay.
Somebody was chastising another person on a thread that this person's friend committed suicide. And he claims to be a psychologist. I don't know how true that is, but he claims to be a psychologist. And he's like, I don't know what you're worried about because you didn't help save her. You're probably just as guilty. And, you know, her soul is nothing anymore. And she doesn't exist.
How cruel is that?
How cruel is that? Yeah. So I let him have it. I got to be honest with you. I wasn't going to let that one slide. And I asked him, I said, well, what happens to the energy? Since you're a Mr. Science Psychology guy, what happens to that energy of a physical mortal body when it leaves the shell?
And he probably had no idea.
And he never got back.
And I think that when we're looking at this as a science issue, the person doesn't know what to do at death. Children absolutely don't know what to do. And people who are good, kind people don't think that God could love them because they were born in sin and they died in sin, because we've heard that 1,000 times. So we're going to tell you what to do at death. Look for the light. In the movie Ghost, that Whoopi Goldberg and Demi Moore and Patrick Swayze, all those years ago, I think it was a 90s movie, which I've seen 100 times. The light came for him, but he didn't go to the light. And for a large majority of people, that light does come. But they don't move toward it.
So and so one of the questions we get a lot of is, well, you know, this ghost has unfinished business. That's why they haven't crossed over. Newsflash, you leave your mortal body, your karmic time here on this planet is over with, and you need to cross over.
Yeah, I mean, Ghost was really cool because it looked like he had unfinished business and he was trying to solve his murder. Doesn't happen that way.
It's not, that's just Hollywood, right?
It was a great movie for Hollywood and it had some very interesting points. But Your business is over. The business of living in a mortal body in that moment is now done.
And we have a chance to come back. It's this fancy word called reincarnation. So it's not like we're ever going to be completely done on this planet, for better or for worse.
Well, I mean, we helped so many dead. We were trying to decide what should we call ourselves. And I thought, oh my gosh, we must be karmic pathologists.
Well, we're working on this course. And she's like, well, what should we call, you know? She's like, how about the karmic pathologist? I about fell on the floor and peed my pants.
So, because we help the dead and we help their karma by crossing them over.
But, so, but
we're
not
part of that pathologist.
No. So, you know, it actually, this kind of reminds me of another story.
Okay.
So a couple years, actually about 6 or 7 years ago, we've every form of ghost, anything you can imagine, we've been there, done that. And I was driving with one of my daughters down the freeway, and all of a sudden we come to a screeching halt. And I look over my shoulder and there's this motorcycle accident. And my daughter says, "Mom, that's a real live dead person. I've never seen one of those." You know your kid sees too many ghosts when.
Yes.
But we did cross over that motorcycle accident victim. But it was just a very... Sometimes you have to have humor in death, I guess, but it was just...
Well, you couldn't do this. If we didn't have some humor, we would fall over the emotional waterfall on a constant basis. And emotionally, that's not good for us. So while it sounds like we are keeping up this fun banter, it's because if you spend your day helping dead people, you had better have some emotional balance that goes
and,
with it.
You know, an example of that was when we crossed over all those Sri Lankans. These are people who planned to do things that day.
It wasn't how they planned to end their day. It really wasn't.
No, and that's just, it's heartbreaking. It's really heartbreaking. Even the motorcycle accident guy all those years ago, it's just heartbreaking. Maybe he had a family to go home to. Maybe. We don't know, but.
Okay. The title of the show is How Do You Know Your House is Haunted? So I think...
Okay, now let's move forward.
Let's move forward on how do you know that your house is haunted? And going back to the client in Savannah, her house had never had... She knew what the norm was. That's an important element. And I've been in a haunted house. You've been in a haunted house. And we both lived in them until we figured out what to do. And I would see something out of the corner of my eye. That's usually the very first thing. Sometimes you
see something in your peripheral vision.
Right. Sort of like here. And you look because you could have sworn somebody just raced by. Or you hear something.
Yeah. A lot of times people will hear their names being whispered.
They'll hear their name, they'll hear whispering. Another one is they'll hear the sound of footsteps. That happened to me in the Charleston house.
And, you know, when my daughter was really little, she would hear footsteps all the time. She just thought that was normal because that was her norm, right?
She didn't know any different. Don't know any different. But by the time you're an adult, you should know what sounds like. Mm-hmm. I mean, when we lived in Italy, some of the buildings were built by the Nazis and we could hear things at night. Many of the officer and enlisted personnel who had stand watch in those buildings at night heard people screaming and moaning. And I mean, it just made your blood run cold. And these were guys who just didn't want to be in that building alone. And you can hear sounds of somebody running down the hall. You can know that your house is haunted by sometimes things are moved. You know, you put your keys in the same place every time and they're not there. Or something that was always right here is now moved to right here.
Or even if animals are very psychic and if you have a pet that can see things and you find your pet staring at a wall for no reason or staring off into space for no reason, that's another sign that there could be something going on. And when we're talking about a haunted home, we're actually talking about locations because we're not in our home 24/7. It could be a workplace. It could be a store
or a boat.
Or a boat. She's always talking about boats. Off air, that is. Must be the Navy officer.
Could be. So you could also wake up in the middle of the night and this happened to me. It probably happened to other people. You feel like somebody's watching you.
Yeah.
And that is just makes your blood run cold because you don't know who this person
and
this,
you may not be able to see it, but you may feel that.
I couldn't see it.
Yeah.
When it happened to me, I couldn't see it. I could feel it and sense it. Or you hear knocking and rapping and this can happen in a brand new house.
And these are all elements of subtle energies. A ghost energy is a subtle energy. It wasn't that long ago that people didn't believe in viruses and bacteria, but now
they couldn't see them
with the invention of the microscope. Oh yeah, they do exist. Let's wash our hands, people. it's kind of the same concept, but we're taking it a little bit farther. It's more on a spiritual realm. And these ghosts, these energies exist. Some people can feel them and see them more than others, which is really what makes this so hard to quantify, don't you think?
Yes. I mean, and you can also have a very unusual situation where, let's say you have several people in the house, maybe one or two of those family members will see something, and the third person goes, I don't see anything.
That's kind of my house.
You're crazy. Yeah. You must be imagining this all in your head. Well, if that person's never had that experience before, they don't just turn a switch and start lying. And believe me, if you're seeing or sensing ghosts, it's not something you're going to make up. You can also find that your house is extra dusty.
It's like, and this is a really good point, because it's as if your house, your home can never get, if your house is haunted, it always feels like it's dirty. Like you may have this innate desire to keep cleaning and scrubbing and things, but your house is actually perfectly clean. It just doesn't feel that way. And, you know, I'm going to kind of plug this class that we're working on, Psychic Self-Defense. We're working on launching this class. And in this course, there comes with it this energy clearing kit that we use. And in the beginning stages of my haunted housedness, for lack of a better term.
Did you make that up?
Right now on the spot.
Okay. So creative.
Right? So in the midst of this, we were trying everything. And one of the problems about ghosts is they don't sleep. They don't.
What a concept.
Right. So they're up all the time. You want to sleep. And I remember one of my daughters, they would constantly bug her all through the night. It's exhausting. And I was reading and researching and looking for things and trying all these things to figure out how to make them go away. I didn't know what that meant at the time. I just wanted a good night's sleep. And, you know, we burned sage and we did all of this stuff and nothing worked. And it wasn't until when I first met you, you're like, try these resins. And I burned these resins. And for the first time, I could see what was in my house and I could see them being crossed over and cleared with the help of these resins.
Well, your psychic ability kicked in. I don't want people to think that these resins all of a sudden give you the psychic ability. Oh my gosh, you can see them now. Not necessarily.
That's true.
Little caveat there.
Okay. All right. Very good. Thank you. So I could see this stuff leaving. And at this time in my life, it was like my house could never get clean. It was like, no matter how much I would scrub anything, it just never felt clean. And once I cleared and removed these elements, and it wasn't just ghosts, because when you have a super haunted house, it's not just ghosts that live there. It's all kinds of things. It's just not fun and it's not cool and it's exhausting. All of a sudden, it was like I could see clearly. The fog was gone from the front of my, from, you know, what
your
I was
vision.
Looking through, my vision.
Maybe it's your third eye vision.
It could have been my third eye vision, but all of a sudden things were clear again. And it was like, whoa, I didn't realize I was living my life in such a deep fog. And that was a huge element of what we have. And I realized as I'm going on, it is time for a break already.
Okay, you're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. If you have any questions for us, contact us at questions@thekarmicpath.com and make sure you check out theoillounge.com.
Yep, exactly. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. I am so thrilled to be talking to all of you. We have got talk radio for all of us. Are you ready and willing and able to accept all of the abundance you can muster up in your life? Yeah. Check us out at drpatshow.com, transformationtalkradio.com, transformationradio.fm. Oh my goodness.
Are you ready to branch out? Take a leap of faith. Then tune in to Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills on TransformationTalkRadio.com every second and fourth Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific to equip, empower, and enlighten yourself. Erica will energize and excite you to power up your passionate dream that sets your soul on fire. So get fearlessly ready and get powerfully rooted in your yes to live it up, love it up, and let it go. Visit GetRootedRadio.com.
Have you ever heard of the 90-10 rule? It goes like this. 90% of the time, no one is thinking of you. 90% of the time, everyone's thinking about themselves. And if you think of it like that, it takes the weight off because now you're not being judged. I'm Megan Edge. I'd love for you to join me on Playing on the Edge Radio, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host Dr. Pat on Transformation Radio FM.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about Maximum Medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
TheAngelLady.net.
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 TheAngelLady.net. 1-800-323-1790. 1-800-323-1790. Sue Storm.
Sue Storm.
TheAngelLady.net.
TheAngelLady.net.
Welcome back to The Karmic Path on Transformation Talk Radio. And we've been talking about all things ghosts.
And some of the things we've been talking about are ghosts are in different dimensions.
Hey, ladies, we got a question from a listener.
Thanks, Kat.
They want to know that what does the third dimension look like to those who have crossed into the fourth dimension?
That's a good question.
That's a really good question. The third dimension, if you're in the fourth dimension.
Let's start with what is the third dimension?
Okay.
So the third dimension is our physical world. We can see, hear, touch, taste, sense things. This is, you know, planet Earth. That's the third dimension. The fourth dimension is the land where ghosts and other beings reside.
If you think about prayer. When you send prayer, it's you're not sitting down and writing a letter using snail mail and sending it to someone. You're creating a thought and you're projecting it through something to get to another person. As I'm sending my hands out that way. And so you're sending it, and it's sort of the like the concept of string theory where everything has a connection. So you're sending that energy out. It can be negative or positive, and it can go through the fourth dimension. But what the ghost is actually seeing, it depends on when the person died, because they're now frozen in time and space. They don't change their clothes.
So that stack of time that we started the show out with.
Right. I had a guy who wrecked his car, and he is so angry, and he's talking to the police officer, and he's trying to get his cell phone to work, and the cop can't hear him because he can see the cop. This young man who's died can see the police officer. Police officer can't hear him.
Or see him.
And he's trying to, you know, touch him, and the officer can't hear anything and is ignoring him. And the guy gets really, really angry because everyone is ignoring him. And that happens in the beginning, in many, many, many cases.
Yeah.
And then it fades to black and they can't see it anymore. And they begin that understanding of death. And then they start to see things in the fourth dimension,
which is a very gray, cold place to be. There's really no color. Everything is various shades of gray.
Or black. It depends on what your frequency is. And the fourth dimension is a place of no time, no space, and no gravity. Because in the third dimension, we have time, and space and gravity, which enables us to experience things. Without gravity, you cannot have time with which to measure the progress of your life. In the fourth dimension, time doesn't exist. It's a very different concept. That's why the person never ages. They, you know, we see a child from, you know, 200 or 300 years ago. Right. They're still a child. They don't age.
They're stuck. They're frozen. Stuck,
and yes. They're stuck at the age of their death. And so what the soul can see of the third dimension begins to leave. It's not going to stay for very long. They may see nothing.
And that light that comes for us will eventually fade away if you don't utilize it.
That's a really good point. Yeah. That's actually a very crucial point. It might come several times and then it stops coming.
Right. And that ghost frequency is a very low frequency. And the longer a person is a ghost, the lower that frequency is, which is why that light doesn't come as much, or it's not noticed by that ghost or that soul.
The light may actually still be there, but the soul begins to
fade into the
and erode. Brightness. It's like the part of them erodes. You can't destroy a soul. I think that's a really important point. Souls are eternal. You cannot destroy a soul. Except in some extraordinarily rare situations.
Okay.
But I'm trying to be accurate. But my point is that soul looks into the third, but eventually they just can't see it anymore.
Right. And sometimes there can be a living human who exudes a brighter light. And it's as if that person, if you're a person who what I would call a ghost magnet, and, you know, me and a few of my family members are ghost magnets. We're a little bit brighter light in this gray world, and they can kind of see us and they gravitate towards us, which is, you know, the Savannah, Georgia client, those kids could see her brightness. The Sri Lankans could see my brightness, and that's kind of like moths to a flame in a sense, although I'm not going to, you know, burn them up. So, all right. So let's talk about what a ghost is.
Well, let's make sure, Kat, do we have any more questions, or I'm hoping that that's going to have
answered. Did that answer the listener's question, Kat?
That seemed very thorough to me, yes.
All right. Very good. Thank you so much for that, Kat. We appreciate you chiming in and letting us know that. All right. So we talked briefly that, you know, what makes a ghost is a person without a physical body that has not crossed over into the heaven world. And there's a lot of misconceptions the living have about ghosts. And the biggest one, I think, is, you know, they have unfinished business and they're entitled to stay here. They can stay and watch and, you know, whatever they want to do. The answer to that is actually nope. They need to cross over because their soul is not evolving as a ghost.
And this is the karmic path. And so it's very important to understand that when a person is in the fourth dimension and they're influencing people in the third dimension, the living person, they're incurring karma. And a lot of times it's very negative karma, whether they intend it to be that way or not. Because if you're hanging around a person who's grieving, that person doesn't know whether it's their grief alone or yours and their grief. It's not necessarily because that person, that ghost, is bad.
Right.
They just don't know what to do and they just genuinely need help.
Sometimes they're so attached to a beloved home or something, they never ever want to leave.
Or an object.
There's a lot of reasons why a person may not cross over, but really they need to cross over because only when they cross over are they going to get this healing and soul restoration that their soul needs and deserves, no matter what kind of life they lived.
And sometimes in some situations, we've seen people come back in as little as five Earth mortal years, which is really fast. But if they had been crossed over, they would have spent
more time in the heaven world. And when we talk about crossing people over, it's equally important to cross over, you know, those extreme narcissists and the murderers, etc., because they will haunt the living
and the dead.
And we don't need that. We need to have them crossed over and basically give them, you know, send them over to the heaven world so that they can leave the living alone. And they're now in charge of that soul versus any dark intelligences in that fourth dimension that will hang on to them.
Okay. I think another key element here, and we're really down to just about a minute left. And let's just kind of sum this up a little bit so people can, you know, walk away with something. And one of them is we do have a psychic self-defense course that's going to help someone who
has issues. And if you're interested in that, you know, shoot us an email at questions@thekarmicpath.com and we can help you out with that. Crossing them over is the best thing you can do. You can use an angel. You can use the crossing over prayer. Make sure that they cross over. And let's talk about some of these science concepts.
Energy is neither created nor destroyed, because we're going back to the first law of thermodynamics, the law of conservation of energy. So when you apply science to what appears metaphysical or airy-fairy, it's not. It's hard science.
And when we talk about psychology, if you can see or sense or feel that there's a ghost there, believe in yourself. Trust your intuition. It's your most powerful asset you have.
And crossing someone over is one of the most spiritually profound things anyone can do. And so as we end this today, we would like to thank you for listening to The Karmic Path on Transformation Talk Radio. And if you have a question or contact us at questions@thekarmicpath.com.
And check out theoillounge.com also. And also, we want to really thank producer Kat. She really helps us to have a better show each week. And we're really grateful to her. So thank you, Kat.
And check out our books and courses on thekarmicpath.com. And we will talk to you same time, same place next week.
Thank you for spending time with us on the Karmic Path Radio Show. Listen live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time as we explore the fascinating elements of karma and how to make those critical connections between spirituality, science, and psychology. Both of us are seasoned psychics living ordinary lives in public education and the military. Tina and I both have a deep-rooted dedication to learning how the unseen world works and to share this knowledge. Learn how to create a heightened sense of understanding and karmic awareness for greater personal balance with The Karmic Path. For more information, visit thekarmicpath.com.